This is the turning point of the keynote. We didn't going to a full davening today. You didn't take the scavel. We didn't say that you can't say a tzidu kadin. So this is the when the kinos begins to slip. That's why probably once we describe Titus and Beis HaMikdash, that picture captures the depth of the tsar and the depth of despair that Klal Yisrael can go through. We, as we mentioned from time to time, when the Jews see the mosque above the coastal, and he sees what's on the Mokim HaMikdash, so that is the and there aren't in a moment like Titos with Kochi Kochi. So once we picture Titos with Kochi Kochi, so then we've come to the bottom, so to speak, the rock bottom of the Kitas. And that's where we now, because Baruch Hu responds to us. The Kalman Noshin Pirim Mishmiyim. Because Baruch Hu says to us, we only describe the events that took place, and we don't describe the events that brought those events to place. We don't look at ourselves. The very first, I think it's the very first Kli Yoker of Parshas Devarim. We know the first pasuk of Devarim is a difficult pasuk. Eile Devarim Shadiver, Moshe. And then there are lists of places. Rashi points out that many of those places, we don't know what they are. We don't know where Tulsa is, Lavan, Dindog. So Rashi explains that there's different ways of Keshbaruch Hu giving Musa. The Yorker says that Keshbaruch Hu, the Moshe Rabbeinu, was speaking to the leaders of Klal Yisrael and teaching them how to give Musa. If you give Musa head-on, if you confront a person, chances are they'll become defensive and they'll retract, and you won't be impactful. But he says if you just mention Musar ideas, and I'm not without directing, because Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Tofel, he didn't accuse the Jews either complaining about the Zavon, or Tofel, the Kleyoka says, as being raw and unrefined and being some simple, he just said Tofel is a problem when people are unrefined. There's a problem when people are raw and don't process. The Yoker says that then the heart that is open will listen to the Muslim. And I'm an infant. So when he comes to saying Titos, the Kochi Kochi, we say what went through the very Allah Ali the Pechal no Noshin Purim. If Klal Yisrael can come to that, to be able to cook children. So then we hit rock bottom. Then every heart has to be open. Then Keshbaruch Hu could say, doesn't accuse us. He says, but a Kohen was killed by Jews, the Beit HaMikdash. And that our hearts are open, and then we begin to talk to Keshbaruch Hu again. We're not ready to ask why Keshbaruch Hu did things to us. We're not there yet. So we ask the Lom in a different way. We ask, why does it happen that the non-Jews are able to do what they did? Why is it God allowed non-Jews to do certain things? Why is it God allowed people to these pogroms and to oppress in certain ways. At the end of this keynote, we're willing to come to some level of introspection. We're willing to say about Tanaka Kolobo. We move. We come to appreciate that there are so many lapses in our, so many situations where over the years, Klal Yisrael and the wrong priorities. Klal Yisrael, we mentioned the Shabbos, took too many things for granted. Klal Yisrael assumed they'd always have a base of English. They'd always have a Kishvorku care. So B'chol Hashem Atzaka, this is when the morning pivots. And then after that, we're also able to say an entire Kayat from B'chol Hashem Atzaka. But B'chol Hashem Atzaka, the Kayat that we say afterward, is recognizing the good things that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Not a different kind of Tzidah Kadim. Not ready to get a Tzidah Kadim for a Kayat. We're not ready to get a Tzidah Kadim for the Shoah. We're not ready to get a Tzidah Kadim for the Tzidah Kadim. Not because we don't have faith in Kadosh Baruch Hu, but because we're not able to do it. Because if we would give a Tzidah Kadim, we would be going. We would not be fully appreciative of the suffering. Not because we don't have the moon. Because we don't have the ability to have a Tzidah Kadim. And probably the biggest avla of a Tisha B'Av is if we come away with insincere and non-genuine and are only saying things. So we can't give a full Tzidah Kadim. But we can say that we know that there is a Tzidah Kadim that can be said. So we're saying Kino Yuchas.
Thank you. Grandson of the Fatseme, who was an Avreich during the war. He was in a bunker in Warsaw. And at one point, he wanted very badly to daven Maariv with a minyan. Not getting into the halachos of whether it was the right thing or the wrong thing, obviously very complicated times. And he decided to sneak out of his bunker to try to assemble a group of Jews to daven Maariv. And he disappeared for a number of hours. And he finally came back a number of hours later, beaten from head to toe, bloody, bruised. And they brought him back into this room, into this bunker. They lay him down in a corner. And in the morning, when they realized that this young man, Benan Shel Kedoshim from a Halakha family, again, his grandson of the Fatemis, when they realized that he wasn't going to make it, they saw that he was whispering something, he was murmuring something in his dying moments. And they walked over and they listened in. And he was saying what Chazal say. He was murmuring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, quoting the Maamar Chazal. Kesha'adam shori v'sar shechina ma'omeres. When a person is in pain, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu sees a Jew in pain, so what does the Shechina say? Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizrawi, my head hurts, my arm hurts. In other words, it's one of the many Maamarei Chazal that express the notion that when we suffer, Kadosh Baruch Hu suffers with us. And his Gerach Chassin, in his dying breath, mamish in his dying breath. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm begging you. Yechabed dir nisht fun mir. He said, I'm begging you, but not for me. I'm in terrible pain. The enemies have taken my life. He said, but Hashem, more than it pains me, imagine a person saying such a thing in his dying breath, more than it pains me, all of my bruises and all of the beatings, it pains me to think that in my pain I'm causing you pain, Chas V'Shalom. But a person could say, as he is dying, Hashem, I know how much it pains you to watch me in pain. And therefore he said, Hashem, I'm begging you, but nishvun mir, not for me, not for myself, I'm not begging you for me, I'm begging you for you. Take my life quickly, not because of my pain, but because I know how much it pains you to watch me suffer. It's a painful day in so many ways, and there's a danger of us becoming almost selfish. And after, like Rabbi Neuberger was saying, at this point of the kinos, we start to transition a little bit to talk about some of the suffering that's not so much about Hashem, or so it seems. A couple of kinos from now, we'll talk about the Crusades. We'll talk about other periods of suffering in Klal Yisrael's history, the destruction of Torah and Tzaddikim. But we have to remember very well that it's not just we wish we had a Beis HaMikdash, or we wish that our enemies were not so harsh and so cruel and so anti-Semitic. The kino we're about to recite begins, Hatei Elohai Aznecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Listen in for a second. Listen to the blasphemous ways the people of the world talk about you. Mi li v'shamayim. Is there really a God in heaven? Look how they plot against you. And throughout this kino, it talks about the attack on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as we talk about the attacks on Klal Yisrael, we have to think that the attacks on us are an attack on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When they asked the Bris Karav after the Holocaust, should we make a separate day to mourn the tragedies? He said, no. He said, because all the tragedies have to come together. Don't make another day, a different day of mourning. To realize that the suffering of Klal Yisrael and the suffering of Hashem, it's all one inyan. And therefore, it's our job on this day to feel the strange concept, the deep concept, but to feel the pain of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyach. The Shechinta Begalusa, the pain of the Shechina in exile. Think about our exile. Think about how much better our lives would be if we had a Beis HaMikdash, if we could have greater Hashras HaShechina. But to realize that every bit of pain that we're going through, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mourning with us. I remember a number of years ago, Tav Shana in Gimel, Rav Moshe Weinberger shared on Tisha B'Av a comment from the Shar Yosef, which is the Hagos from the Chassam Sofer. And it tells there a story, it says in the year Tav Kuf Tzadi Beis, it was right around Tisha B'Av time, the Chassam Sofer came into the Beis Medrash one time, and he started screaming, Mama started screaming. He started saying, Rebbeinu Shel, I can't hold back anymore, it's just not fair, Unzizvai, it's terrible by us. It's so terrible by us. He was screaming at Hashem, it's terrible, it's terrible, Hashem, this is terrible. And later the Chassam Sofer explained, what was he saying? What was his kavanah? It's so terrible by us. By Unzizai, it's so bad by us. Chassam Sofer said, Hashem, it's not so bad by you. One could argue, it's not so bad by you, Hashem. Because like the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Jews in Galus, we still come to shul, and we still daven. Like the Gemara says, when a person says, Amen Yeheshmei Rabba B'chol Kocho, that we're still trying to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over this crazy world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, like the Gemara in Brachos says, how fortunate is a king whose children praise him in such a way. We're still giving you Kavod Hashem. We're still trying to be Mamlech you over the world. And then the Gemara says, but woe to the father who has exiled his son. Woe to the children who suffer. Woe to the house that was destroyed in Hashem's anger. And Hashem said, Hashem, by you, it's not so bad. You get such a nachas ruach when you hear that we're still davening, that we're still trying to learn. So maybe about you, Hashem, the Golus isn't so bad. The Chassam Sofer came to that Beis Medrash that day, Tav Kuf Tzadi Beis, screaming. He said, but Hashem, but by us, it's terrible.
By us it's so bad, by us it's bad, the Hester Panabat. You get great Nacha, knowing that despite the Hester Panam, we're still trying to connect to. So by you, Hashem, you're very proud of us. But by us it's so bad. By us we can't tolerate it anymore. I would never in a million years have the audacity to be holy on the Chassam Sofer. But there is a different perspective. Because the Chiddush HaRebbe said almost the exact opposite. The Chiddush HaRebbe, the first Gaon Rebbe, said, by us it's actually pretty good. The fact that we have the opportunity now, in a time of Hester Panim, to still serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very hard, Ein Hachanami. But do you realize the schar, said the Chiddush HaRebbe, that we get for every little thing that we do? Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a system of getting schar and onesh in accordance with the challenge. So if we're living in a time where it's very hard, maybe it's very hard for us to be good Jews, so the Chiddush HaRebbe said, Moshe Wolfson quotes it, in his Emunah Titzachon, Parshas Vayikra, that by us, it's gewaldig. We have amazing opportunities to get schar like never before, but that's a very selfish way for a Jew to live our life. Because like Rabbi Neuberger hinted to a moment ago, as much as the Chassam Sofer said, by you Hashem it's not so bad, but by us it's so bad, you can say the opposite. By us, it's a great opportunity. And I'm interested in getting a big portion of the world to come. I can score a lot of points right now. But when I look at the Har HaBayis and I see a mosque sitting on the Kodesh Kadashim, I have to say, Hashem, the pain that I feel, which is your pain, is so great that Hashem, I can't tolerate it. And that's a little bit what we're trying to tap into this day. To realize that the Imo Anochi Betzara is not just Hashem coming with us to comfort us. But a little bit we have to think, Imo Anochi Betzara, Anochi is Betzara. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first words we ever heard from Hashem, Anochi is Betzara. That it pains Hashem terribly. On one hand, Hashem is so proud of us. He looks at us and says, wow, you're still doing, you're still trying. But to think for a few moments about Hashem's pain. Because Baruch is so quiet in the face of so much opposition. You say in Shmona Esrei, Mi Dol Malach. Mi Dol Malach means who's comparable to you. But Dom is also a Yidom Aro. Mi Dol Malach, who could be silent like you? How do you put up with this for so long, Hashem? It pains us to look at a mask on our bias. How does it make Hashem feel? It pains us to see the suffering of Kali Yisrael. Hashem, who loves us infinitely more than we love ourselves, how much does it pain him? There was a Rav, his name was the Rav of Rudnik. And he took care of a tzaddik, Rav Ruvin Karelenstein, when he was sick. And he said he was by Rav Karelenstein one time, and he saw Rav Ruvin was like, he suffered a lot. Rav Ruvin went through terrible treatments for his illness. He saw one time, he said, Rav Ruvin gave out this sigh, this moan, like he'd never heard before. So he said, Rav Ruvin, what is it? It's the pain of the treatments. Can I get you some more medicine? Can I get you this? He said, is the pain greater than ever before? So Reuben said, no, it's not that the pain is so terrible. Reuben said, I had to travel away from Eretz Yisrael to receive this treatment, to take care of my illness. And he said, I'm thinking about my family. My family is so far away in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm thinking how much I miss them. But then I started thinking for a second, hold on a second. I said to myself, here I am, thousands of miles away from my family. I've been away for a period of time. But in his mind, was a relatively long period of time. But then he said to himself, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 2,000 years, in a certain sense, has been away from his children. A divide of much greater time and much greater space. And he said, I felt the tsar of the Shekhinah. I realized how sad I am, how broken I feel to be away from my family for a couple of weeks. I'm able to still call them on the phone, communicate with them. Kadosh Baruch Hu, 2,000 years hasn't had a Beis HaMikdash. And he said, that pained me terribly to think about such a thing. We think that the Chorban Beis HaMikdash took place down here. But I want to let you in on a little secret, on a big chiddush. It comes from the Sefer Binyan Shlomo, which I have here in front of me. But Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna, maybe you've seen some of his Ha'aros in the Chidushim in the back of the Vilna Shas, the Cheshek Shlomo. He wrote Shailas and Shuvos, and in the back, in Simon Lamed Hay, he has a comment explaining a very, very cryptic pasuk in Yechezkel. It really doesn't make a lot of sense, the pasuk shot in this pasuk, and he says a remarkable chiddush. The pasuk in Yechezkel says that it was in the 12th year, Vayhi b'shnei esrei shana, 12th year of the Galus, ba'asiri, 10th month, from Nisan is Teves, b'chamisha l'chodesh, on the 5th of Teves, l'galuseinu, again, 12 years from Galus, ba'elai ha'polit le'mor huksa ha'ir. A refugee, or somewhat a remnant, a survivor from Yerushalayim, came to inform us in Babel that the city has been sieged. That's a pshat. Says Rav Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna, L'chorei roi l'hadin, it doesn't make any sense. Deheich efshir d'vemeshech rav chazeh. Do karev leheich hadashim. From Av until, from Av until Teves. How could it be, it was in the 10th month, how is it possible that so much time had passed, 5 months had passed, from Tisha B'Av to Hei Teves, lo nesvadu l'bnei ha'golah d'nechraf ha'bayis, v'huk sa'ir? Is that possible? For 5 months, people didn't know about it. They had no idea that the Beit HaMikdash had been destroyed, the city had been sieged, surrounded. Uv'prat chorban Beit HaMikdash v'avonasino ha'radim, d'tekifa milsa tuva. Again, some news doesn't travel so fast back in the day. But that such a thing wasn't known. Mavade, how you that Pearson goes the whole world. The whole world knew about the Chorban Beit HaMikdash. All of a sudden, Yavoi Elai HaPalit. All of a sudden, a courier comes, a survivor comes, and he shares the news. They didn't know. The people who had been exiled previously didn't know the Beit HaMikdash had been destroyed. Neheich lo nesvadu zel ebnei Agola. Hashem Ravada, how did they not know? First of all, he says, it's impossible, the whole world knew. And Babel from Yerushalayim, Eino Rechokim Yerushalayim Kol Kach, Ki Yadua. It's not so far. 5 months, they had no idea. Va'o Teim HaGedol, he says a couple lines later. And furthermore, I don't understand the Pasuk. The Pasuk says what? Finally, a Pulit came, and what does a Pulit share? Asher Huksa Ha'ir? That something is happening in the city? That there's a siege? They breach the walls? V'lo hiske mehal de nisraf beis ha-mikdash. Da peranios yoyster gedol mechor ba-neir. The city is under attack. The city is not under attack. The beis ha-mikdash has been destroyed. Why are you referring to the city under attack? The shabak ha-ikav and nakal ha-tafel. You're avoiding that which is primary and emphasizing that which is secondary. Says Shlomo Kohen HaGolni, because I know I'm about to say a big chiddush. He knows what he's going to say. Lulei de nisrafin, if I wasn't so afraid, I would say the following. There's no way, it's not possible. Geographically, it doesn't make any sense that they didn't know that the Beit HaMikdash had been destroyed. They had to have known. You know what they didn't know? You know what Jews in their innocence assumed could not be? Amazing Kiddush. They knew that in Yerushalayim Shalmata we had a problem, a very big problem. Our Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, our city had been ransacked. But the thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his Beit HaMikdash on high, whatever that means, the Beit HaMikdash Shalmala, and Yerushalayim Shalmala, the thought that had been destroyed, can't destroy a Kodesh Baruch, you can't destroy the Mikdash on Mala. You can't be pogim in a Kodesh Baruch with palace on high. V'im kein ein amal his other. And therefore they said, we can't mourn so deeply. We can't mourn our Hashem. It's good by Hashem. By us it's right, like the Chassam Sofer said. By us it's terrible. But by Hashem it's not so bad. They assume things are okay in Shemayim. They didn't understand how deeply Shemayim and Aretz were linked. Like in Mesilas Yesharim writes in Parak Yotes, that when a Jew davens over the Golus, he davens over the fact that Golus down here is a decrease in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. And our hope for Geula is not just that we'll be safer, that in Eretz Yisrael we'll be able to live more peacefully, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will be restored to this world, that Hashem's honor will be increased. But we imagine that's all taking place down here. And Shemayim, things are fine. Hashem's fine. Says the Cheshek Shlomo, says the Binyan Shlomo, all of a sudden, Yavo HaPalit, as the Balei Tosfos on Chumash, the Parshas Lech Lecha, brings from Pirkei Der Eliezer. Who's the Palit? The Palit was not a Master of Adam. The Palit, he says, the Palit said, the Higi Liyacheskel, the Huksayir Hu Michael, Hasar HaGadol Hu Sar Shal Yisam. Who is sometimes called the refugee, the Palit, the survivor? It's the ministering angel of the Jewish people, Michael, the Sar, the Samigur Shal Yisrael, on high. And all of a sudden, Amalek comes to Baal. They knew the Beit HaMikdash Shamat had been destroyed. All of a sudden, says Yechezkel, Amalek came to me, and he told me, the Huksagam Eir Shal Mala. That all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael found out, but they never realized, that in Shemayim we also have a problem. That HaKadosh Baruch was in a lot of pain also. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bias is also lying in ruins, but our bias is lying in ruins. And the reason they didn't know about it, because again, it was only shy to the heavens. Who could know such a thing? Until a malach was finally sent to tell Klal Yisrael, you don't get it enough. You're upset about your tzar, but you think there's not enough of an avelus, because by Hashem everything's okay. By Hashem everything's not okay. Hashem is not okay. The fact that Hashem has remained silent for so long, midomalach, who could be so quiet? We don't know Hashem's cheshbonos. That Hashem doesn't poke his head out once in a while from behind the curtain and say to the world, who continues to speak so terribly about the Jewish people, speak so terribly about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, who denied God, that Hashem could be quiet for so long. Behind the Shechina Gam came the Galus, says the Binyan Shalom. That the Shechina is also suffering on this day. So to recite Shechina Chaf, and we come to some of the other Kinos up ahead, pay attention to the fact that we're lamenting the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is suffering with us. Not just because we're suffering, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also pained. That it also pains HaKadosh Baruch Hu terribly. Not to be selfish on this thing. I want to just end with two final quotes. There's a Sefer called Ramasayim Sofim. It's a commentary on the Tana de Baalio. And it quotes an unbelievable quote from Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, Yismach Moshe. Listen to what he said. And he said this by Hoshanus. He didn't say it sitting on the ground in Tisha B'Av. But one year by Hoshanos, he said, Rav Moshe Olam, No Yagia Kates Chuasecha. The time has already come for you to bring salvation. La'al Tachshov, and don't think, Ki Ani Choshesh Gam L'Tovasi. Like that Gerach Hasid in his dying breath in a Warsaw bunker said, Hashem, take away my pain because I know that my pain is your pain. Said the Yismach Moshe, don't think that I'm davening here by the Kafos on Hoshanos. Don't think I'm davening because I need it to be better for us. Hallo, ani maskim shalo yeh l'nefesh ruach neshama shali chas v'shalom shum pedu segula. I'm prepared to be mevater on my gula. You can leave my soul behind, whatever that means. Adir Abba, l'kafakela, I know that I did a lot of averos. I know I don't deserve gula. I don't deserve to experience the simcha that's going to come with redemption, with you revealing yourself to the world. V'chol ha'inuyim shav'olam ani muchan. I'm prepared to accept all the suffering upon myself. But Rabbi Shalom, I can't watch your name be trampled anywhere. I can't watch the Shechina lying in the dirt anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time to pick yourself up. Isnari me'afar kumi. Hashem, don't allow yourself. Do it for you. L'mancha. Do it for yourself. It's not for ourselves. Whereas the Holy Visioner said, with this I conclude, as the Holy Visioner said, when he saw the vision, when he was thrown into a dungeon, much like the Gerach Hasid that we started with. He was sitting in that dungeon and he said to himself, he davened over a new pshat, like Jews sing by Shalosh Shuras, Mizmor V'David. Gam ki eilech v'geis ha'mavet lo yirara ki ata imadi. The Pasha pshat, of course, is, Hashem, I have nothing to worry about because I know that you're with me. And I know that we're going to get through this together. But the Holy Rabbi Solov Rizhin, when he was in his captivity, thrown into a dungeon, he said, I read it differently. Gam ki eilach begeis ha'mavet, lo ira. Lo ira. He said, even though I find myself in such a difficult situation, lo ira, I'm not so worried about myself. I'm just flesh and blood. Gam ki eilach begeis ha'mavet, lo ira, I'm not afraid. For myself, I'm not afraid. But this Jew went out, he knew the Nazis might kill him for trying to get Marv in the Warsaw ghetto. He didn't care. Lo ira. But you know what bothers him? It bothers him that if I get beat up, Hashem, that means you're getting beat up once again. Said the Rishner, Gam ki elech begeit pamamet lo ira, I'm not afraid for myself. What's the next words of the pasuk? Lo ira, we read lo ira ra. He read it, lo ira, kama. Ra, you know why it's bad? Ki ata imati. It's bad because I'm dragging you through this again. And part of our apology to Kodesh Baruch Hu and Tisha B'Av is, I'm sorry, Hashem, that until we get our act together, you have to go through another Tisha B'Av. And until we have a Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash Shalmala. And when we are sitting here fasting and suffering, it pains the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we have to apologize for that, we have to daven over that, we have to hope that Amir Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, will allow His honor to be restored to this world. Hatei Elohai Oznecha,
another mini dance now, which will complete the keynote. The Algonin is the Kina that refers to the Asara Ruga Balkos, and we see the Algonin and Tisha B'Av, because Chazal say that the Tira of a Tzadik is Gechurin and Bayis. Then we lose the Algonin, so that is tantamount to losing the Beit HaMikdash. You can keep it also. Refer as a pious, it refers to the Asara Gimalchus, and that's because the loss of Tzadikim is Mechaber. It gives us Kapara in the same way that our Avodah and Mikdash would give us Kapara. How do we understand that Misa Tzadikim is Gehurban Abayas? So the simple level is that Tzadikim and the Anshei Mesorah, they are the ones, we call them the Merkava Avodah Shvaruch. The Ramban writes that in the beginning of Sefer Shvos, that the Avos are, and he writes, and this is true about the Tzadikim Shvachol Dor, and the Merkava Avodah Shvaruch means that that's how we see that the Ramban Shvos Torah is practicable. And the Shvaruch Hu's Torah on its highest level is something that can be accomplished in this world. The greatest, one of the greatest forms of Chil Hashem is when Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is not being observed, as if to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a Torah which cannot be accomplished. In fact, in Halacha we often say that we know the extent to which precision is required in halacha because they did do mamalchei hasharis. And when precision is required that goes above the human capacity, that means that that is not mandated by halacha. And in Mark Shachim, that bedikas chametz, what's the limitation of bedikas chametz? When does something she'en l'dover sof, that means it cannot be humanly possible. In Baruch Hu's Torah, since it addresses us, that if people are not observing it, as if to say that it can't be done, that becomes a chilul Hashem. So the tzaddikim, and then we're called the Baruch Hu, that the Baruch Hu's limousine, and what shows us that all of the Baruch Hu's requirements and the life of goodness that she wants is manageable. But when the tzaddikim are taken away from us, when the Arugei Malchus are killed off, so then we lose the Merkava Baruch Hu, so we lose a form of Beit HaMikdash. We lose a form of the Baruch Hu spending time with us. We lose a form of us being able to connect with the Rebbe Shalom. And that brings it very often home. There is a quote every so often that the Chazanish's nephew was with him in his last moments, one of the great ones. And when the Chazanish was about to leave this world, so all of the Talmidim and his close confidants left the room and began to stay inside. They waited in the other room. And when the Chazanish and the Shah actually departed, so Benjamin came out and he said to everybody around, we used to be a generation with the Chazanish, and now we're a generation without the Chazanish. I often feel that in recent years when we've lost Gedola, when I was a child, we were at a door with Reb Moshe, with Reb Yaakov, with the Rebbe, with Lubavitch Rebbe. And as strong as an impact they have on us, then now we're a different door. That's what we're supposed to feel when we say the Adel Bona. It's hard for us to feel that we're a door without a Rikiva, a door without a Yudhubaba, that we're a door without a Chanin Tatar. But we are able to feel that we're a door without a Yoshim, a door without a Shalom. We go on and on, we don't mind, and see how it's a different generation. It's a different, place.
I Baber, Nisa Baber, Zifar, Tadig Rabbi Elizabeth, Shabbo Bachman, and Erev Matira, Yemem Shabbat, Zaitzman, Gizbei, Gazi, Gartem, Shalfu, Alev, Alei, Nisa, Bachayim, Zayim, Rayotza, Nishmatai, Zifar, Elim, Yaita, Vizar, Zifra, Raina, Vachayna, Otsipa, Bnei, Avlov, Anna, Zifara, Vizkila, Zifar, 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 Zifar,
But the Chachmei Svarim, the Mitzvot and the Rashbaz,
only were available to us. They got they were printed. They were published in the 1920s. Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, remembered when the Rav received the Ramban. He didn't have Ramban before. He remembers when the father had a Ritva. I remember when the Ramban was 2 volumes, the Ritva was 3 volumes. Before we did have a Meiri. I still remember the first Meiri coming out, not the very, very first, but the second wave of Meiri. So, till the 20th century, the repository of the Chachmim is formed in the Beis Yosef, but if it wasn't the Beis Yosef, and if it wasn't the Shita Gubetzes on the 5 or 6 Mesichtas, we didn't have the Eiris and the Gubetzes. Again, it was not too long ago. That's why in the old Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshivas of the earliest 20th century, which is still the ones that shape our learning, so they didn't discuss Ritzvot and Rashbot and what they didn't have. They had the Mokomis at the back of the Gemara, that was their Ramban name. They had the Balavor. So the Rav is pointing out that our ability to understand Tosh and Alteh is Chachmi Ashkenaz. So when we read of the next few keynotes about the designation of Chachmi Ashkenaz, so that was Klal Yisrael's loss, the grasp of so much of Tosh and Alteh. And what we have, and that's one of the, we have to marvel as well, that as the Torah Center was destroyed in Germany, and if it would not have been a Rashi who for some reason went to France and taught by those in France, then the Babli, because Rome didn't let it happen, that the event of the Babli would have been like Yerushalmi. We wouldn't know how to make it end until then. We're able to see, at the same time as we say Achrishim Yenim Adavera and see the suffering of Klal Yisrael, the same thing also to sit back and appreciate the Shbrochu protected from the sorrow that we do have. Achrishim Yenim Adavera
Misbed Marasa, Yakanemini, Madivisha, the Sayyid Savayama, Sivri Avadas, Yasinita Sama. Honeybar, Horat, Barta, Bodanakitua, Kapalevana, Lamayas, Nitaverga, Yatavisu, Yila, Biraya, Mitsa, Mandalai, Saiba, Surai. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rambam details the Klei HaMikdash and has a paragraph, almost each paragraph establishes a kina for every element of the Beit HaMikdash. Before the Beit HaMikdash, we were making Hundash, as Klei HaMikdash,
away from each other. So we would think that the Churban Bayis would walk in
and you see the Kruvim entirely back to back. Hayatochim, they would embrace each other. The Teretrina says that Teretrina suggests that this was the Shikat Frija. That the truth is that before they came in, the backs were facing each other. The right before Churban, to this is one moment, when they separated. And what there was that Nishika that takes place, and each one goes their own way. That's the next Kino describes the next Churban. The Churban of Zeres Tat, new, the Churban of losing again, the Churban of Europe, it all comes from that moment of the Shikat Frida. Maintain Vishnu. Kina number 26, the Kina that the Rosa Kalir that puts into Tayyid the Bedrish that Yirmiyahu Navi went to Kevaravos, he went to Rosa Machpel Kiryoko, and he tried to prevail upon all of the Ovis Nevois to prevail upon the Rabban Shalom to stay the Urban Bayis. Each one of the Ovis said, I'm not able to do that because my legacy is not being observed. Until he came to Rachel and Leah. And Rachel was able to come and present himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rachel the Zakel.
Thank you. Yeah.
Kiddush number 29, Chof Tev, the later Kiddush, and according to the Kotman, I believe that it is a description of the trajectory of this morning. It begins with the Bechi that we began with. It describes later on the Tzidah Kadim, Tzidkot Dini for Yom Avir that we discussed, Tati Levi Mitzvotechin in Yonav. Then after the Tzidah Kadim, then one can begin to understand, begin the Tati Levi, can begin to try to understand the Tati Tzedek V'Yosher Dinov. We can come to some measure of a Tzidah Kadim, as we mentioned. And then we turn to the Shvaruch Hu, the Lulad of Atzvilah, as Moshe has described before, Hashem ki gibor tzei yedei chavok para. The Shvaruch Hu become the gibor, the hero, that you can be paran and take the koma, and your bihav and our bihav. And then the very end, tipe domai achas le'achas nuyos. We know that every drop of blood of the Kedosh of Kol Yisrael, minuyos, every drop is counted by you. We know that you can take those drops of blood that were the result of murder and pogroms, and you can make them into hazah. You can sprinkle them. They can become the dam of kodshim, and they can bring back all of the kedusha, the lazy nesos kol atlo. And we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu and ourselves are exhausted. And that's what we get with Margu Lossi in the Socha Shamar. Amarti Shu
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. 34 is Rita Levi putting to
poetry, the Kuta, the story of the blood of the Charya, the Navi, that was, when he gave birth to the filthy Yom Kippur in the blood, kept on bubbling in the Mokim HaMikdash until the Nebuzradan came, and the Nebuzradan questioned it, and if I described that he tried to cover that, that it was blood of a korban, and he challenged us, and he killed thousands of children in order to see if he could quiet the blood until he turned to God and asked God to quiet the blood of the
Yes, I Shalom, 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 sh
Yaakov, you know, promised Rachel that he be a Ben Yamin, that he would watch over him. Ben Yamin was the one, so Yoshi points out, that when Rachel was dying, so she says, Ben Oni, that this child is going to suffer terribly. So this child won't have a mother, and this child will come into this world with the suffering of a mother and childbirth. And Yaakov Avinu turns and says, no, it'll be Ben Yamini. This child will thrive. This child will be, I will watch over this child, as he did. And that very much speaks to the preciousness of Klal Yisrael. And many times when we thought we were a Ben Oni, we would suffer terribly, and his brother sent us Shomer to make sure that we would be a Ben Yamin, that we protected by Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, by the Hashgacha of his Shlichim. And Ben Yamin was the only one that was not involved in the fate on the, or certainly clearly distanced from the fate of Mechiras Yosef. The Yerushalayim begins with that promise of protection, begins with the fulfillment of the Tfilos to Rachel. She had her place in the Shvatim. And Yerushalayim begins with Avos Yisrael, distance from any sin at all. And the Paitan takes us through and refers back to Malchei Mugaroyev, the various kings. Some of the commentaries say this refers to the great king Melchizedek, the great king of Avraham Avinu, and they were the coming together of the two visions of Yerushalayim. Melchizedek's vision of Yerushalayim was a place of great yashrus, a place of great principle. The fact that the king of Yerushalayim was called Melchizedek, it first suggests that it naturally drew the most refined people and the most refined ideas. And then we built on top of that Avram's legacy of Kirvas Elokus of a Brisk with Rebbe Shalom. So Yerushalayim is the coming together of the greatest visions that both human efforts can produce and that Avram Avinu could produce. And then it described Yerushalayim as a place of the Kainim, the Choyim, which model for all of us, the Amalekos Kohenim. Nesem Vishirayev, the songs of Levium, the bring together not only the Sanhedrin, the Sarah of Chachma, but also the Sarah of Shir, the Sarah of the emotional, brings together the fullness of the service of the
Thank you.
41, Namalef, Shali Sufa Be'ish, tells a very painful story of the public burning of Torah that took place in the year 1242. Maharam Rutenberg was a young man at the time, about 20 years old, a little older than that. And he saw it with his own eyes. And we live in a world where we're so accustomed to having so many svarim that sometimes we don't appreciate the tragedy that was. 24 cartloads of svarim, the destruction of Torah, that the Rav mentioned several times earlier, in Arzei HaLevanon, Yitin Rosh Yimayim, keynotes that talk about the destruction of Torah communities. And like I mentioned in the introduction, the enemies of Klal Yisrael are pretty good, unfortunately, at targeting some of our most precious things that we sometimes take for granted. Whether it's the Nebuchadnezzar not allowing us to daven or to do tshuva, because he understood better than we did, the power of tefillah, the power of tshuva. In a certain sense, our enemies understand the power of our Torah even more so than we sometimes do. I was learning this past week, I was learning Eicha with Rashi, and there's a Rashi in the very first parak of Eicha that describes how our enemies, when they destroy Klal Yisrael, even more than they seek to take the spoils of war, the gold, the silver, in a certain sense, more than anything, they're looking to destroy Torah. Listen to this Rashi. It's on the pasuk we read last night, Yado Parasar al kol machmadeha, that the enemy stretched out its hand over all of our machmadeha, our precious things. Says Rashi, Sifri Torah shenever behem and achmad mizahav. A pasuk which people who love Torah sing, and the Chmod Mizav, the Paz Rav, the Torah's most precious gift in the world, but guess what? The enemies also knew it. And instead of ransacking the Beit HaMikdash to take gold and to take silver, Rashi says specifically Amun and Moav, they came for Sifrei Torah. With what purpose? Hakol Nifnu Levoz Ketav Mizav, most went to take gold and silver. But the enemies really knew what they were doing to try to destroy Klal Yisrael. They went after the Sifrei Torah to burn them. Again, specifically Amun and Moav, who felt attacked by the Torah because of their inability to convert, to marry in. But the enemies of Klal Yisrael understand that if we can break that Mesorah, again, that the Rav spoke about so eloquently earlier, if we can break the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, the transmission of the ideals of Torah, then there's no better way to destroy the Jewish people. I want to read a little piece from Elie Wiesel's memoirs. It's called All Rivers Run to the Sea. And he shares a haunting dream that he had. A dream with his grandfather. My grandfather continues to haunt my dreams. Hands clasped behind his back, he wanders through the Beit Medrash as if he were looking for someone. He is alone, but not completely. I am keeping him company. But he is alone, nevertheless. From time to time he stops, picks up a book, and with an air of deep concentration leaps through it. He puts it down, and I, in turn, open it. A shiver runs through me. All the pages are blank and faded. I utter a frightened sound, and my grandfather signals me to be silent and to come closer. He stands before the holy ark. Inside, very strange dream. Inside are human beings instead of the sacred scrolls. I cry, but they are dead, grandfather. They're all dead. My grandfather nods as if to say, true, we are all dead. But the sacred scrolls, grandfather, what happens to the scrolls in the Arum? Are they with the dead? My grandfather doesn't answer. Panicked, I turn and prepare to run away. I run towards the exit, but it is blocked. I rush to the window, but it opens on a wall. A stranger has scales that he is sitting on top. Eyes wide, I try to identify him. It is my grandfather. In his arms, he holds the sacred scrolls. He cradles them as if they were his grandchildren. I lean over to capture his song, and I fall, or rather I feel that I am falling, only to find myself at the very same spot where my grandfather had been sitting. I don't know how, but now I am the one who's holding the scrolls. I want to rock them in my arms, but I don't know the song that filled my dream. I found the words of Elie Wiesel. It's the transmission of Torah that keeps Klal Yisrael strong. It's this harrowing image of his grandfather trying to rescue the scrolls, and the fear that he has, his inability to know what to do with the scrolls. The pages look blank. To appreciate the fact that we live in a time where we have a printing press. The destruction of these 24 cartloads of Gemaras, of Sefer Kodesh, was in a time before a printing press. I was told we have one volume that remains from this Tikufa. And there are Jews who fast on the Arab Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, around the time when this took place. There are Jews to this day who still fast, who have such a fast. Those Chukas HaTorah, the Parsha begins, Okulisa is Dog Zeira Soraisa, seen as a sign from heaven of this terrible decree against Torah. But if our enemy has tried to destroy us by removing our connection to Torah, we have to remind ourselves what the Shem Yishmol writes in Parshas Baal Oscha. The Shem Yishmol quotes from Simcha Bunu of Prashitcha, who said that everything, there was nothing in the world that wasn't destroyed, at least in part, by the Chorban Beit HaMikdash. Everything is ruined. Everything was dragged down. Things that seem to be unrelated to Chorban were damaged and were taken down a level in their physical strength and their spiritual strength. But Rav Simcha Bunu of Prashitcha, quoted by the Shem Yishmol, the Rebbe of Sakachov, said there's one thing that's not damaged by Chorban, that's Torah. What do you mean? We're learning this morning about the loss of Torah. But there's something that we have a choice that we can make to continue to hold on to, and to continue to allow it to exist in an authentic way, even after the Chorban, and that's the Torah. Shemachol b'hashpolo b'chorban abayis chutz mi'atorah. Torah is Hashem to me. Hashem's Torah is perfect. And they can burn the Sefer Torah, and they can burn our Gemaras, but if a Jew transmits the Masorah of Torah from one generation to the next, then they can't destroy it, and they can't destroy us. When we stood at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over our head, and said to Klal Yisrael, accept my Torah, and if you don't, Sham Tehei Kvurascham, there you shall be buried. And many ask, what's the Sham Tehei Kvurascham? They should say, oh, here, right here on the spot, I'll drop the mountain on your head. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew he was going to force us to take the Torah. Hashem had no intention of dropping the mountain on our head. But as Hashem coerced us into the acceptance of Torah, Hashem reminded the Jewish people that if we ever let go of that Torah, Sham, there, wherever that place will be, wherever we loosen our grip of the Torah, Sham Tehei Kvurascham. That's the place where Klal Yisrael are really going to suffer. Chafetz Chaim pointed out that it's not by chance that the last mitzvah, the very last mitzvah of Kol HaTorah Kula, mitzvah 613, is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, which according to many Rishonim includes publishing Sfarim, printing Sfarim, to make sure that the Torah is transmitted. And the Chafetz Chaim said, if you look at the location of that mitzvah, it's right after the Torah describes the most painful pasuk in all of Tanakh. Rashi in Yeshaya says the most painful pasuk in all of Tanakh is Vanochi Hastir Astir Panai Vayomahu. And Hashem says, I'm going to hide myself from you. You're not going to know where I am in the world. You're not going to be able to come to a Beit HaMikdash. You're not going to be able to communicate with me like once was. You're not going to have Nevi'im to share the Dvar Hashem. But says the Chafetz Chaim, right after that decree of Hester Panim, is a mitzvah of write a Sefer Torah, of appreciate our Svarim, of recognizing that when we have Torah, we lift ourselves up a little bit above the gulf.
And that's why the last Navi, when he signs off, the Navi Malachi says, Zichru Torah Moshe Abdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Appreciate what a bracha we have, the time to which we live, the amount of Torah that we have. It's not just supposed to be a nice wallpaper for our homes. We should be embarrassed when we pick up a Gemara and the binding, you know, cracks a little too loudly, indicating that we haven't been down that path before. To appreciate the gifts of Torah. Chaim Ozer, the great Gaon, the Gadol Biyosra, Chaim Ozer Grudzinski writes in his Akdama to his Achi Ezer, which he was publishing in 1922. And he was wondering, why am I publishing this Torah? What's the purpose of publishing this Torah? There's so many other things that are wrong in the world. Now's the time for me to write my Chidushim, which a small percentage of Jews will understand. And here's what Rav Chaim Ozer, this is a translation of Rav Chaim Ozer wrote in Achi Ezer in Akdama, it's amazing, 1922. Thoughts of distress should enter the heart of a thinking person. Is it appropriate to put out a book in a time of national emergency? That's what we need more Sfarim, we need to publish more Sfarim. One should really ask, the nation of Israel is sinking in a sea of tears, and you are reciting celebratory praises, you're all excited, you're publishing your Chidushim. However, says Rav Chaim Ozer, this is the dedication of the Jewish people to Hashem and His Torah in all generations and in all situations. Even when a sharp sword is resting on its neck, the Torah of Hashem is its enjoyment throughout the day. Even in times of destruction, where there is a threat to the very existence of the nation, during the period of Yavne and its scholars, the Jewish people were an ember plucked from the fire, which lit up the Jewish people in exile like the clouds of glory. Through them, the text and tradition were preserved and passed on. Rav Chaim Ozer said that in every generation, yes, sometimes it seems silly to be publishing Sfarim. We need another sefer on this topic or that topic. But there's a reason. There's a certain Siyata Dishmaya we have in our world today where every single day, every single week, there's just new Sfarim in every language published. There's no excuse not to learn Torah today. So many opportunities. We have to go home today and thank the Sfarim that we're not allowed to look at today, but to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us so much Torah, and to appreciate that Torah is that linchpin that holds Klal Yisrael together. The great Tzaddik once pointed out there are 2 days in the calendar year where we don't learn very much. Ironically, one of them is Simchas Torah. We're so busy davening and dancing and celebrating with the Torah that we hardly have time to actually learn Torah. And the other is Tisha B'Av, where of course the halacha is Pekuli Hashem Yishar Mesamche, but we're not allowed to learn Torah in the regular sense. And it was explained that on Simchas Torah, we're almost scared to learn. We love Torah so much, we're almost scared to open up the Torah. We're in such awe and reverence for the Torah that we can hold the Torah in our hands, we can dance with it, but we're so overwhelmed by the greatness of that gift that we come out and we're too afraid to learn it. Tisha B'Av is the opposite extreme. A Tisha B'Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away our Svarim from us, that hopefully we'll be able to appreciate the Svarim that we have. And that's what this Kina is about. Shali Srufa Be'esh. What was it like to see 24 cartloads? What was it like for the Maharam Rutenberg, a 22-year-old young man, watching the Torah of Hashem being burnt, knowing that those were handwritten manuscripts, not easily published again, not printed again, to be appreciative of the Torah that we have? Like the Baba Rebbe said when he found, during the war, in a Nazi general's garbage pail, a page of Gemara from the Sechet Sanhedrin, how he clutched it and he cherished it and he hung on to it. He said it was greater than the joy of Simchas Torah itself. Whereas some Jews after the war found an envelope that a Russian officer in Siberia had received from his son, a letter from his son. And they noticed, these Jews noticed, that the envelope was made out of a piece of a sitter and was thrown in the garbage pail. And when they found this envelope, they held onto it and they kept it and they waited for Simchas Torah. And Simchas Torah, imagine a bunch of Jews still emerging from the horrors of the Holocaust, from the concentration camps, from a Siberian work camp. Imagine Jews standing with one Jew in the middle holding an envelope made out of a page of a sitter, clutching it and singing and dancing. That's all they had. That's all the Torah that was left in their world. Let's not take our Svarim for granted. Let's not take the opportunities that we have in our world today to go online to listen to Shiurim, the abundance of Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Let's make sure that if the enemy has come to destroy our Torah, that we're going to work to Mechazik to fortify our Torah. Shall be a truth of the age.
I know we're short on time. So now we always end up a little short on time. Not that we would know what to say if we had more time. But before we recite the Kina that the Bava Rebbe composed, I want to just tell one story. I guess this is the part of the keynote that I think for probably most of us, in some ways, the easiest to relate to. It's most recent, most real. We know people. Unfortunately, as time goes on, we have to say we knew people who lived through the horrors of the Holocaust. And I want to just share one story from Rabbi Solmer Lau's beautiful biography, autobiography. I'm sure many people have read it. And I want to use it just to, like I mentioned in the past, for Rapam, and Rapam was asked, how do you teach people about everything that happened in the Shoah? He said, don't focus on the korban and the destruction, but focus on the strength of those Jews, their amazing ability to pick themselves up sometimes in impossible situations that we can never even imagine. Rabbi Lau tells of arriving at a Polish labor camp in 1944. And he said it was a Friday. And he describes his first Shabbos in that place. As Naphtali lay beside me, that was his brother, a familiar tune from far-off days reached our ears from the end of the barracks. Cantor Yosef Mandelbaum was singing the verse Mikdash Melech from Lecha Dodi. The tune, a distant reminder of home, allowed me to forget the events of the last few days, and it lulled me to sleep. Fast forward a couple of months, and he said, he described some of the horror that he went through. And then Rabbi Lau writes, after the battle for my life, I continued to hide in the barracks most of the time, while my brother Naphtali was forced to work as a mechanic in the phosphate factory. Occasionally, Gestapo men brought me their boots to polish, and this work granted me a meager subsistence ration. I stored a little food in the barracks, offering it to Naphtali. Sometimes, in order to escape the torments of the labor camp, I returned in my imagination to our first night, that Leil Shabbos, where I heard Yaakov Mandelbaum singing a verse from Lecha Dodi. Naphtali lay next to me on the cold, damp ground, trying to warm me, when suddenly we heard, in the distance, the Hasidic tune. Naphtali recalled this song from Krakow, the city of his birth. The memory of his childhood permeated the atmosphere, filling him with emotion, a vestige of vastly distant times. As a child, Naphtali had gone many times to visit mother's cousin, Rabbi Zion Halberstam, the Admor of Baba, the descendant of the San dynasty, who died during the Holocaust, as we learned afterwards. Yossel Mandelbaum, the Baba Verchassid, was a cantor in Krakow, and one of the world's greatest cantors. The verse we heard him singing that night was Mikdash Melech Ir Malucha Kumi Tzii Mitocha Afecha Sanctuary of the King, Royal City, arise and depart from amid the upheaval. Too long have you dwelled in the valley of weeping, he will shower compassion upon you. Naphtali crawled over the ground towards the singing voice. Yes, it really was Yossel Mandelbaum, encircled by a group of Hasidim. He saw not a trace of Mandelbaum's impressive beard, which Naphtali recalled from his childhood. Except for the hint of a mustache, Mandelbaum and all those surrounding him were clean-shaven. Only the Chazan's marvelous voice remained, unmistakable and unique. Naphtali was certain he had been granted a gift from heaven. He sat down among the Hasidim and introduced himself. I'm the son of the rabbi, Rabbi Lau, Petrikov. They all knew my father and his family. They smothered him with warmth and love that night, offering a ray of light within the darkness we inhabited. As my brother later told me, Yossel Mandelbaum saw it after reflection of his own sons, who were killed along with their mother. Just as he remembered Shabbos Eve in the labor camp, Yossel Mandelbaum also remembered the Jewish holidays. One December Eve, he lit the first light of Hanukkah, fashioning an oil lamp from an empty bullet casing. He lit a rousing version of Moses' Torah inside the barracks, and we shared baked potatoes. We felt we were among close friends, like friends who had known our family. We knew they would take care of us as best they could, but in January 1945, the Nazis sent Mandelbaum and his followers, who had come with him from Krakow to Germany, and we lost contact with them. Before they left, Naphtali gave Mandelbaum a souvenir, a small chumash that had belonged to our uncle, Rabbi Mordechai Vogelman. In 1940, Rabbi Vogelman had left to Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't take his library with him, and he left us with his sefer. 40 years later, Naphtali served as Israel's Council General in New York. For a family event, he went to Brooklyn to the great base medrash of then the Admor of Baba, Rav Shlomo Halberstam. The Rebbe treated Naphtali with the utmost respect, seating him on the right, to the great surprise of the crowd of Hasidim. Most of them were unaware of the family relationship between the Admor and Naphtali. They attributed the Rebbe's warm hospitality to the respect for the official representative of the State of Israel. During the evening, the Admor, my brother, conversed, and Naphtali told him about how Yossel Mandelbaum had sung the verse from Lecha Dodi on that Shabbos Eve, that first Shabbos, in that Polish labor camp, thus unwittingly making a valuable contribution to our spiritual lives. Cantor Mandelbaum brought us back to the bosom of family despite the threatening conditions of the camp. What a pity, said Naphtali, that we lost track of him in Buchenwald. The Rebbe whispered something in the ear of one of his assistants. A few minutes later, the assistant reappeared, holding the arm of a diminutive Jew with an impressive white beard. Here is Yossel Mandelbaum, it asked the Rebbe. He then asked the elderly man, who was more than 8 years old, to once again sing the words, Mikdash Melech. the Pali wisdom is astounded. Despite the 4 years that has passed and his diminished height, young Manvatn's voice had not changed. It remained as clear and as strong as it was then. And as Yasel sang the phrase, Kumi si mitocha fecha, arise and depart from amid the upheaval, Naftali no longer saw the Hasidim of the Rebbe in Brooklyn, but he saw those Jews who were suffering on that cold, damp ground of the barracks on that Shabbos Eve in 1944. Kanati Zimach Shom did so much to the bodies of Klal Yisrael, so much to the spirit of Klal Yisrael. But I think about this story and I think somehow the voice of Yossel Mandelbaum was able to make its way from the beautiful world, from the beautiful Beis Medrash above in Europe, to a concentration camp, and then to somehow be rebuilt in Brooklyn 40 years later. Hakol kol Yaakov v'yadayim v'yadayim. The hands of our oppressors change ever so slightly, but it's more or less the same. We have to mechazik ourselves, the Hakol Kol Yaakov, that somehow the inner voice of Klal Yisrael is as strong as it ever was, and that a Jew could come out of the horrors and the ashes and the destruction and to be able to still sing on a Friday night, to be able to still chant the beautiful words, Mikdash Melech Ir Malucha, to believe in the possibility of Hashem's kingdom being rebuilt in this world, and to believe that again Hakol Kol Yaakov, that the voice is always so strong, and it can never be taken away from us. To me, that's what we have to think about when we commemorate, we remember, we mourn the loss of 6 million Jews. For all the voices that were lost, we have to make sure that our voice is still strong in the world. The voice of Torah, the voice of Tefillah, the voice of the kind words to one another, a voice of opposition to the hatred of the Jewish people, and anything wholesome that's left in the world. To carry that sweet voice of hope of Yasuo Mandelbaum, and to make sure that those voices that are no longer heard in the world, that were snuffed out too soon, are still heard from a distance.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you.